Fourth Sunday of Advent. We're here. We're looking at the different hopes of Christmas and how Christmas brings hope. We have the hope of salvation, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of God's glory, and today we're looking at the hope of God's love. Kind of a strange subject. When I was studying this week, between all the other craziness going on, I thought the message was going in one direction, and then there's something that happened. I was reading through the Christmas story again, because it's Christmas. Merry Christmas, by the way. And I was reading this part about the angels once again coming down. By the way, that in the Nativity, that's still my favorite scene of all. I mean, camel, all the other stuff. The angel scene is still by far my favorite scene in the Nativity. Just the glory of that and how God came down and how he sent those messengers was just so cool. So I'd like to read this to you again. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord," remember, "the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in the manger.'" So I just want to pull something out real quick before we get on into all this. When the angels came, and the first thing they said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now realize that the good news of the great joy is for all the people. The news is for everyone. The great joy of this good news is for the whole world. They just have to listen to it. If they would hear it, they would recognize it, they would receive it, it would bring great joy, okay? So the good news is for everyone. That joy of the good news is for everyone. But then the angels go on to say, because we look around the world and there's not great joy. Not everyone has a full measure of joy in their hearts and their lives. As a matter of fact, the exact opposite is going on mostly around us. The darkness is getting darker and darker, and the light is shining bright, but it seems to be fewer and fewer. But the angels goes on. And he says, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men.'" And that was part of what you were singing this morning. On earth peace to men. But it doesn't end there. Like sometimes the song cuts it off right there. Peace to men. It says, "Peace to men on whom his favor rests. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." To me, that means to those who have heard the great news of the good news of great joy, who've heard it, that's for all the people. It's those people who heard it and accepted it. For those who have heard and accepted the good news of Jesus and his birth and his death and his resurrection, and they've accepted and allowed Christ to become the Lord of your life, there is peace because his favor rests on them. But Alan made a very good point this morning. Actually, a huge point. That for a lot of people, Christians involved, this is not the happiest time of the year, the merriest time of the year. There's great heartache, there's great pain, there's great sorrow, there's all kinds of different emotions that are wrapped up in the Christmas season, and it seems to come to a great head. It seems to come into this big mass because everyone else supposedly is putting on this face of Merry Christmas and happy and joy, and it's all so wonderful and great. But inside, in so many people, as a matter of fact, I think in most people, there's a turmoil that's going on inside. A sorrow, a pain, an agony. And the Christmas time is one of those times that those two come in such stark contrast to one another. In such great battle. And even those who have Christ in their life, they start to question because they have these feelings that are inside whether God really loves me. Because they see all the happiness and joy in the people around them. And honestly, a lot of them are putting on the same facade, the same faces that we are. And many times we see the facade of the joy and the happiness that's on the outside, but knowing on the inside I'm hurting and I'm in pain. And we start questioning, does God really love me? Why am I going through this? Why is this pain so deep? Why am I feeling these things when I should be happy, when I should be glorifying, when I should be joyous, when I should be jumping because my Savior's birth, and I should be celebrating, and I'm trying to do that on the outside, but on the inside I'm still in pain? And they start asking why. And to be honest, that's one of the reasons I think that the deep despair comes into so many people at Christmas time. It sets in. And it hurts and affects so many different lives. And so I remember when I started the study this week of the hope of God's love. And I was a little bit concerned about the whole topic of the hope of God's love, because hope is that idea of something that is not there yet, is not recognized. And you know what? I don't think we do recognize it completely. I don't think we understand the completeness and the totality of God's love that is represented in a baby who came to earth. It can't get any bigger or any greater. His love is displayed in completeness in the one man of Jesus Christ. That is the expression of God's love, complete. The reason I say that, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 5 explains this so wonderfully. And actually, again, you all know I don't have a great plan here, but it's amazing how God puts things together in such an incredible way. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, it's going to pop up here on the screen, I'm sure, in just a second. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. This is a summary of our Advent season here and this hope that we're talking about. We've looked at faith, we've looked at love, and this time we're looking at hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." Pause. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." You know what that is? We have hope. We have hope because of the salvation. That's what justified is. We've been saved. All right? So we have hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. Look what it says, "with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Let me say that again. Through whom we have gained access. Access to what? What have we gained access to? We've been gained access to God. What is that? It's the hope of the resurrection and the life eternal. See those two things that are right there? We have hope of salvation. We have hope of the resurrection. We have the access to God in which we are going to be with him forever. And we rejoice, here we go, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Remember this? Okay, just to summarize, we have hope in the salvation. We have hope in the resurrection. We have hope in the glory of God. If you weren't here last week, you need to get the sermon, all right? First of all, because the glory of God is God's light shining through us, through the Holy Spirit. It's that thing that attracts people to the message of Jesus in us. The Holy Spirit shining through us. We have hope of the glory of God. Not only so, and here's where we get into this. So all these great things, all these wonderful gifts, salvation, resurrection, the glory of God shining through us through the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on, he doesn't stop there, and he says very simply, not only so, not all these glorious things, not only so, but we also rejoice. Listen to what it says. We also rejoice in our sufferings, in our pain, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. We know suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance gives us character. And character, hope. Hope does not disappoint us. Remember hope? Our definition of hope. Being patient. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given you. see the expression of God's love? The expression of God's love is not a diamond ring, okay? It's not a bauble. It's not glitz and glitter. The expression of God's love is not doing a favor for me or doing what I ask him to do. That is not the expression of God's love. The expression of God's love is not the way the world thinks the expression of love should be. It's not a kiss. It's not a hug. It's not presence. The expression of God's love is so much deeper. The expression of God's love is sacrifice. Complete sacrifice. Do you want to know what the definition of love is according to God? Would you like to hear it? You all know John 3:16, right? 1 John, the epistle of John 3:16. This is God's definition of love. It's not a ring, it's not a bauble, it's not glitz, it's not glitter. It's not a physical affection. This is God's definition of love. 3:16. This is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. This is what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. You see, the expression of love that God has given to us is sacrifice of Jesus. He laid down his life for us. That's what love is. That's what true love is. That's what true sacrifice is. You know what? The greatest expression of love that a parent could have for his child is to lay down his life for the child. Yes, I could give them presents out the wazoo. I hope wazoo isn't a bad word, but that's just what I'm using. I could give them everything that their hearts desire. I could give them every toy, every video game, every bicycle, every pony. I could give them all the things that the world has to offer, and that would not be a greater expression of love than my willingness to die for my kids. And that's what God has done with Jesus. He says, I'm willing to give my life for you. I love the word that it says in Ephesians where it says he poured out his love. Not getting all Greeky and all scientific, or not scientific, but all grammatical or all this other stuff. The idea that it's talking about poured out, it means it is completed. It's a verb that says it's done, it's finished. As a matter of fact, it's this idea that if you have I wish I had a picture of, it'd be really messy right now. If we had a picture of water right here and I poured it out, okay? I didn't just pour. I mean, I just dumped it out and poured it out, and I shook it, okay? I shook the pitcher of water. So every single last drop of water that was in that pitcher is out. There's not a drop left. It is empty. That's the idea that God has with his love that he expressed in Jesus Christ. He says, I cannot possibly love you anymore. I've got no more love left in me. I've given every bit of it to you right now. It's yours. In the expression of Jesus Christ, I can't give you any more love because that's all I have. It's all yours. But what happens is the troubles, the suffering, the pain of this world starts to creep in, and we start to question God's love. Well, you know what? He tells us very simply in so many different places. If you want to look at 1 Peter 4:12, look at John 16:3. Take a look what Jesus himself says in John 16:3. He says very simple, 16:33. I knew it was over on the other side of the page. It says, so that you have, okay, I have told you these things, Jesus said, so that in me you may have peace. Do you hear that? There's that peace word again. In you, in me, you may have peace. In this world, listen to what it says. In this world, you, say it with me, you will have troubles. Not might, possibly, but you will have troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. You know, I stand here right now and I know more than I want to know. know. I know their marriage is falling apart. I know there are kids that are being abused. I know that there are kids that are dying. I know that there is heartache and pain right here, right now. I know there are bills that can't be paid. I know. I understand. And I know so many times people look at these things and they say, no, he doesn't love me, but yes, he does. He tells us very simply, through these trials, through this suffering, through this pain, God is not trying to push you away. He is not rejecting you in any way, shape, or form. He is allowing you to experience. He's allowing you to experience that suffering that Christ had for us. He's refining you through the fires so that the joy of Christ can and will shine in you and through you. He loves you that much. I love my favorite, one of my favorite scholars. One of my favorite scholars wrote this. His name is Nathan Ritchie. I'm serious. This is what he wrote. And hope does not disappoint us because he has poured out his love into our hearts. This verse comes from a very different angle. The hope that we have in God will never come up empty. Never come up empty because he has fully expressed his love in the death of Christ and giving the Holy Spirit. My hope is well-founded, supported, and testified to me that the Holy Spirit who pours out God's love into my heart, the picture I get is the Holy Spirit. I love this. The picture I get is the Holy Spirit ceaselessly whispering to me, you are mine, and I love you with an undying love. My hope in God will never be put to shame because he will make good on everything he has said because he truly loves me. You see, in the midst of the pain and the suffering, God is working. In Hebrews chapter 12, he tells us that God disciplines those he loves. God allows those he loves to go through hard times, because we're in the hardest times. Where should we look? Sometimes we don't, but where are we supposed to look in the hardest times? Is to him, to reach out to him and say, Lord, you know, if you have to get on your knees and put both hands up and say, Daddy, pick me up because I'm at the bottom, he's going to pick you up. He's there in the good times, he's there in the bad times, and he's growing you into the person that you desire, that he desires you to be. You know, I cannot think of anyone going through a harder time right now than the Peters. I can't. I can't imagine. I cannot put in my mind the pain that they're facing every single day, wondering, is this going to be the day? Every day. Cherishing every single moment, every second, every word, every expression, every smile, every single moment. And yet, when you talk to Dave and Kay, and I've got to several times in the last couple weeks, the strength that they're feeling because of the power of prayer and the presence of God is absolutely amazing. And I'm not saying that in a light fashion. The light that is shining from them is almost blinding, because they know that God loves them. And that same love is yours. It's yours. He hasn't portioned it out to one person more than the other. He's poured it all out for all people at all times. Have to do is continually hear that Holy Spirit that is telling us truth. I love you. I love you. And even though you're going through the hardest part of your life, the bells of Christmas still ring for you. The love of Christ still is for you. And nothing can take it away. Absolutely nothing. Romans 8, and I'm done. Romans 8:32. I can't go at 8:32. I got to go back up to 29. Is this like, or 28? Is this like part of my nature? I can't deny it. And we know, that in all things God works for good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against them, those whom God has chosen? If it is God who justifies, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, he who is raised to life. He is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The hope of God's love is consummated, is completed, is shown, is glorified, is proclaimed in the name of Jesus. He loves you. He cannot love you anymore. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter the suffering, the pain, He loves you. He will cause all these things to work for good, for His glory. That's the news of Christmas. That's why we celebrate. That's why we say Merry Christmas, because of no matter what is going on, no matter what the pain, no matter what the suffering, we know that God loves us. We know that there is a hope. We know there is a future. We know that He reigns and His love will endure forever and ever and ever. To the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's Christmas. That's His love. And it's for you. My challenge to you right now, to block out all the things of the world. Block out all the other voices. Yes, there is pain. I'm not saying deny the pain, but hear the voice that God is whispering to you right now. I love you. 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 This Heavenly Father, Lord and God, You are an incredible and mighty and awesome God. I thank You so much for the way that You watch over us, Lord. I thank You so much for the way You provide for us. I thank You so much for the way that You protect us, Lord. And I thank You so much for the pain and the suffering that You allow to come into our lives that reminds us, Lord, of the suffering that You have done on our behalf. I thank You so much for the ability to come to You in the midst of that pain. I thank You so much for the voice of the Holy Spirit that continually whispers the truth in our hearts and in our lives. And I thank You so much for the boldness to be able to proclaim that our God lives and He loves us. I thank You so much for Jesus. I thank You for His willingness to leave Your side and come to this earth in the most humble of circumstances, in the most humble of states, in the most lowly of positions, take on manhood. I thank you so much for his life. I thank you for his words that you've recorded in your word, the Bible. I thank you so much for his example. I thank you for the miracles that testify to the power that he had through you. I thank you, Lord, for his willingness to suffer. I thank you for his willingness to die. And I thank you for the power that you placed within him to be raised again as the first fruits of that resurrection. Lord, right now, I pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to be the only voice that is heard throughout this season. I pray that it's so loud in our hearts and in our lives through your Spirit, God, that it shines the glory of you through us. I pray that it becomes so evident that the people are wanting to want to know where that hope comes from. And I pray, Lord, that you give us the words to express the glory of who you are and the riches of your love and the incredible, incredible gift of your grace. Lord, we love you. And we are so grateful. We are so grateful for your Son and the opportunity to celebrate his birth and proclaim his death. Lord, we love you. We need more of you. Comfort us by your great comforter and great healer, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name.